Today on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about Navy Chaplain Wes Motter and how he says that persecution is the best thing for the church. We're also going to be talking about jihad in America and so much more. Join us in a few.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning, the United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the low country in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. He went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these
seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few is Steve Kolaszewski. And today we're going to be talking about several things, but one of which is a Navy chaplain, Wes Motter, who says the best thing for the church is persecution. Imagine that. This is a Navy chaplain who just went through the fires of all kinds of attack just for simply telling the truth, what the Bible says. His job was threatened. His livelihood was threatened. A 19-year career was on the line because someone didn't like the counsel that he was giving through the Word of God. Listen, this is the times that we're about approaching right now. They're going to test men's souls. They're really going to find out what's on the inside of us. And this Navy chaplain shares his testimony of what he experienced and how he made it through, and why he says that persecution is the best thing for those that follow Jesus. Watch this.
Turning now to a story CBN has been following since it began, the case of embattled chaplain Wes Motter. Paul Strand recently had a chance to sit down with him and see how he's doing after a 2-star admiral completely exonerated him.
Lieutenant Commander Wes Motter never expected counseling service members on what the Bible says would put him in the fight of his life. But that's what happened after a group of those he counseled complained about what he had to say on subjects like homosexuality and other sexual matters.
It was shocking. You feel a lot of emotion. You know, you feel natural feelings like betrayal.
His opponents at Joint Base Charleston in South Carolina didn't just want this Assemblies of God pastor corrected. They were after his job and his military pension, too.
They wanted to kick me out, remove me from a promotion list. You know, having a family with 4 children, not knowing what I'm going into, sacrificing 19 years of honorable military service, all of it was on the line, everything.
Then recently, his attorney, Michael Berry, got surprising news from the Navy. Motter was cleared of all the charges.
When we found out that the Navy, that this 2-star admiral had completely exonerated Chaplain Motter, first, I was blown away. It was not what I was expecting. I was preparing myself for a dogfight.
Berry said he was elated and could hardly wait to tell Motter the good news. The chaplain and his family were overjoyed, but he admits he's still hurting.
There is a huge sense of victory and relief, but the emotional capital is overwhelming.
Still, this chaplain says as more and more Christians face similar battles over their beliefs, they're going to have to fight because the cause is crucial.
I think it's paramount. I think the best thing for the church is persecution. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but we need to stand for religious liberty. It's not really about bakers, and it's not really about florists. It's about validating something that is national.
Berry says he's distressed by the un-American nature of this Christian persecution.
It could be people of any other faiths, too, but unfortunately right now the majority of attacks are coming against Christians in this country. That's not what our country is about.
As a combat veteran, Barry's particularly frustrated. Military commanders are thrust into the middle of these battles.
When a commanding officer has to worry about Whether or not somebody in his unit is going to be offended because a chaplain is praying or because a chaplain dares to speak from their religious worldview to another service member, that commanding officer's now, his attention and his focus is taken away from the external threat, and he has to worry about things that he should never have to worry about.
Mater and his family will soon be out of the uncomfortable environment he found himself in at Joint Base Charleston. They're transferring to one of their favorite duty stations, San Diego. Paul Strand, CBN News.
Wow, what a testimony. Think about this. Here you have a military personnel who's fighting for our freedoms. His freedom was attacked. How could this be? Listen, this is a time for us to start to awaken to the reality that Christians are being persecuted all over the country. They have been persecuted for many years all over the world, but now what we're seeing in America really is unprecedented. And it's time for us to really understand and get a grasp of reality. I mean, Jesus said himself, he said, in this world you will have tribulations. He told us that we were going to face persecutions. But he says, you know what, cheer up, because I've overcome the world. And it's so important that as we face these difficult days, that we walk with Jesus, that we don't jump on the bandwagon of causes and different things like that, but we need to be about the Father's business, advancing the kingdom of heaven. And listen, the model, it hasn't changed. You know, heaven full, hell empty. And we need to do all that we can with the life that we have to continue to advance God's kingdom. Listen, there's so many people on the face of this earth that do not know Jesus. And the question is that if they do not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they will experience hell for eternity. And so if we as believers are going to face some persecution for standing for the truth, if we're going to face persecution for helping others come into the kingdom, that's a price that we must be willing to pay. I remember hearing of a story about the Chinese church and how they face persecution and still today face tons of persecution from their government. And a believer in the West, in America, was saying, listen, we're praying to end your persecution in China, that the Christians will no longer be persecuted. And the Chinese Christian said, no, please, please don't pray for that. It has helped us tremendously. The Chinese church has grown. The underground church, by some estimates and some reports, are 130 million strong. Listen, they don't need any special songs or any kind of encouragement to pray. They pray all the time. They're serious about their walk, and they're devout followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if persecution, the one side effect, one benefit of going through a trial like this is begins to help us to question, what am I living for? And am I, the things that I'm living for, are they worth Jesus dying for? Many times we live life as if we're going to live forever, or we have many years. We have all these plans, and at the end of the day, so many people die with regret. And I'm speaking of believers. They wish, I would have done more for God because it's all over. Listen, today's the day for us to seize the moment and to say, you know what, God, if I'm going to suffer just for being a follower of you, well, then that's just the way it's going to be. But I'm not going to live a simple life away from any kind of persecution, shy away from the truth. I'm going to walk with you, and I want to tell everyone about Jesus. When we get more back from this break, we're going to talk about a young girl in Uganda and what she was willing to go through because she refused to deny Jesus. More when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN-TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
And it's amazing how we're standing together mm-hmm. to be able to do this. And we have so many things as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership. As you know, we have an entire partnership area, you know,
yeah,
in regards to
what's
available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFN-TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is Weapon of Peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Think about this. That all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed in the this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call. You can go online at VFNTV.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go till you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your gift, a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner.
That is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this. Be a part and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you've got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. If you missed one of our previous programs, we were talking about literally the persecution of the Jews right now with a potential third intifada where they're experiencing stabbings and being hacked with machetes. Mm-hmm. I mean, craziness. And yet at the same time, we're seeing persecution for Christians like we've never seen it before in areas that we've never seen it in America, in the military, no less. And that just causes you to say, what is happening? What's going on? And what is my response? Because persecution may be coming knocking at my door. And how am I going to respond to this? Because there's only one or two, you know, one or two ways. You could either run from the persecution and kind of don't do the things that's going to cause you to be persecuted, you know, like status quo and just kind of mingle and just compromise. Maybe then you're not going to face persecution. But if you stand for truth and you walk with God just for being a believer, you're going to experience some things. You're going to experience it. And it happens everywhere. I mean, it could happen right now with the Jews. It's happening where they're being physically attacked. But it could, a lot of times it happens kind of institutionalized where, especially at workplace, I've come across so many believers these days that are actually terrified of standing for the truth because of what's going to happen at their workplace. Listen, if you lose your job, it will be okay. You know, either God gave you the job or he didn't. And I'm not advocating that you cause trouble or, you know, pick a cause and feel like you have to, you know, get everyone else straight because God didn't call us to do that. But if for your own personal walk with God, if you're being asked to compromise, if you're being asked to do something that would cause you to sin, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And it may mean that you may lose status. It may mean that you may lose employment. But in the scheme of things, does that really matter?
Yeah.
Because we're going to face him one day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm trying to spare you the embarrassment of not wanting to go through persecution because you're going to lose a job. You know what I mean? That's probably not something you're going to want to look at the Lord later on about. This is the time to really understand and to check our motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? And it causes me to think about, Steve, a story about a young girl in Uganda and the price she was willing to pay so that she would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It is challenging. It is sobering. It is real. And I want you to watch it because I want you to hear this story. and just let God speak to you as you hear, because it's so moving, and I think it's timely for the hour. Watch this.
You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. Hallowed be thy name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. There's power in the name of Jesus. Take the third commandment, for example. You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. For years, I simply thought that meant not swearing or cursing using the Lord's name, but I stumbled across a simple but incredible realization. Because a more literal translation of that commandment actually reads, you shall not use the name of Yahweh for worthlessness. You shall not use the name of Yahweh casually, complacently, without respect, without value. It's the moment in time I realized that I actually break this commandment all the time. And more often than not, I break it at church. How much value, how much worth do you place on the name of Jesus? As I thought through this, it reminded me of a girl called Susan from Uganda. She's 14 years old and from a strictly Islamic family. One day a visiting speaker came to her school. He spoke about this guy called Jesus, who claimed he was the son of God and had come to save the world. And right there, Susan decided to give her life to Jesus. When she got home, her father found out and he was furious. In fact, on one occasion in broad daylight, he grabbed Susan and her younger brother and dragged them outside. He held a knife to their throat and said, Susan, if you do not stop going to church and worshiping God, I will kill you and your brother. But Susan didn't stop. Her father grabbed her. He took her to a room in their house and placed a mat on the floor. He told Susan to sit on that mat and do not move until you are willing to deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Her father turned around, walked out of the room, and locked the door. Susan's father didn't return to that room for 3 months. The only way Susan survived was that while her father was out, her brother would dig a hole under the door. He would pour water into it for Susan to lap up. On occasion, he would fry up some banana and slide that under the door to his sister. After about 3 months, the neighbors began to wonder where Susan was, and they asked her brother. He told them, and they immediately called the police. When they came, they opened the door and they found Susan. She was sitting on the mat. She was alive, but only just. You see, the bones in her legs had begun to grow and conform to the way she had been sitting, and she weighed 20 kilos. They grabbed her and rushed her to hospital, where they began to rehabilitate her. When Susan was asked why she hadn't tried to escape, why she hadn't even left the mat, without missing a beat, she replied, because my father said, if I was to leave that mat, I would be denying Jesus. And I couldn't do that. Worthlessness. It never even seemed to cross her mind, did it? This is exactly what the third commandment is about. A faith driven by a passion for God, that realizes not only to be in relationship with Him, but to be able to call on His name, is among the most sacred privileges we have as Christians. A privilege the world can't conceive, and a privilege that we so often take for granted. You shall not use the name of Yahweh for worthlessness. Susan wouldn't. You.
Wow. Susan. Are we casually, this is the stuff that we have to really look at today. Are we casually using the name of Christ? Do not take the name of the Lord God in vain, Yahweh in vain, worthless, casual. And it really causes and challenges you to say, you know, what is a Christian? You know, today people walk around with crosses on their jackets, their blouses, they're on their necks. We go to our fellowships and then we kind of check in and check out and we say they were Christians, but Susan found out that there was a price to pay for carrying the name of Christ. Think about that. There was a price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And she was willing to suffer than to deny Jesus. And it makes me want to think, Steve. I mean, today it seems like believers, particularly in America, we pass out if there's no air conditioning. We pass out if the chair doesn't have enough cushion. We can't sit or stand for any length of period of time. We measure our fellowships by all of these worldly things that bear no spiritual significance whatsoever. And I wonder that when we face persecution, if we're blessed to face persecution, will we be able to stand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I personally feel so challenged. I mean, you're looking at a picture right now of Susan. Understand that her father said, I want you to sit on this mat. And I don't want you to get up from this mat until you're ready to deny Jesus. She sat there for 90 days, 3 months. And she was able to survive because her brother brought her some food underneath the door. She lapped up water like a dog. And she sat there for so long that her bones formulated in the position that she was sitting. And we can't read our Bibles? It's reported by some reports that every American has about 4.7 Bibles per household. Yet George Barna reports that 81% of Christians don't even read their Bibles. Of the 19% that do, only 3% feel responsible for their own spiritual development. And that's the average believer today. What is the word of the Lord? What is God saying to you today? And it's like, well, my pastor preached on no. What did God tell you Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we have to be, you know, you take the word Christian and you're like, what does that mean today? I like the word follower of Christ. Because what does that mean? It means we follow him in everywhere. Are we perfect? No, I'm certainly not. I needed Jesus before I'm asked, I still need Jesus now. But my aim is to be a follower, to be devoted to him. You know, people say they love. The question is not do you love Jesus. Are you in love with him? God is looking for those who will radically give their lives for him. Listen, what Jesus did for you on the cross is his gift to you. But what you do with your life right now for however long you're going to live on this earth is your gift to him. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack and talk about this more because persecution is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not stand, I'm afraid, like Susan was willing to stand for Christ if you don't intimately know him and are walking with him and are committed to him. More when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you in a spiritually mismatched marriage? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and it may feel like God's not doing anything. You might be frustrated, but Lee Strobel offers encouragement that even when you don't see progress, God is still at work.
And friends, I want to tell you something. If you are a Christian, married to someone who's not a Christian, this is not a waste of time in your life.
Yes, it's difficult, but God can and He will use this experience to mold you into someone, to shape your character and values and outlooks and attitude in such a way that He never could have done had you not gone through this pain.
Well, we all have seasons in life when we're not sure what it's all about. But as Lee said, even when you're not seeing results, you can be growing in your relationship with God. You can hear this entire message about surviving a spiritually mismatched marriage today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast. Click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go. Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Steve Kalaszewski. And we were just watching, just joining us. You got to catch today's program. My goodness, Susan in Uganda, a believer, a sister, a dear follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to sit for 90 days on a mat because her father told her that if you would get up from this mat, you were going to deny Jesus Christ. And she sat there to her own physical detriment. I mean, her bones formulated in the position that she was sitting for 90 days. Mm-hmm. But she would not, Steve, deny Jesus Christ. And I'm concerned that today in America, we have a lot of believers, people that say they're believers. You know, today there's coming a day where being a Christian is going to, identifying yourself as a Christian is going to cost you. But that's always been the case. I mean, mm-hmm. we look at back at Matthew 10 when Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out. And on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings. This is Matthew 10:18. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, I mean, today, like, what did you just
arrest,
say?
Yeah.
But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. And it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. It says, brother will betray brother and father, his child. Children will rebel against their parents and put them to death. And you will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the thing is, are we just liked too much?
Mm-hmm.
He says, everyone will hate you. But today, it's like every believer wants to be liked. Everyone wants to put something sweet on their Facebook. Everybody wants to give a nice Christian status. But are we being too liked? And I'm not saying be disliked for being, you know, doing foolish things and saying foolish things, hurtful things. I'm saying because you're willing to stand for Christ and not deny him. Not deny him at work, not deny him in the public square, not deny him with your actions in front of your own family.
Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about, you know, as we're saying this, I don't know who specifically said it. And it's like, there are no lukewarm Christians in China.
Yeah, I bet. Or in the Middle East.
Yeah. And in the face of, you know, we just talked about earlier in the program about Wes Motter, who's a lieutenant colonel in the Navy. And he, just like you're saying, he's just willing to unwaveringly talk about what the Bible says and give someone counseling in the face of repeated criticism. And you had said before is that for some reason, when someone gets any feedback in the workplace, immediately they stop talking about Jesus. And it causes me to ask this question that imagine you were to walk into a workplace or you're to walk into an employer and you're having an interview and they say, we don't talk about family here, no pictures of spouses, no pictures of children. How many people would immediately say, I will have no part of that. I am who I am, and I'm going to talk about my family. But for some reason, that when it comes to Jesus, there is this gray area. And Jesus expects devout commitment to him. And you've said before.
But don't even talk about that,
exactly.
That commitment anymore.
Exactly.
Is that even something that's even preached or shared about?
Right. And that's the thing, is like, We cannot run from these difficulties because that's when it expresses how much I am devoted to him.
Right.
Because he paid the ultimate cost for me. Why should I ever think that I can do anything less than that, than give my entire life for him?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, for so long we've been preaching a no lordship gospel that says you can accept Jesus as Savior, but mm-hmm. this whole Lord thing, this boss thing, I'm not too sure. That's, you know, that's suspect. You can decide on what you want him to be Lord about it. The truth is that if God, Jesus, is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all in mm-hmm. your life. And we accept him as Savior and Lord. That means he's the boss of our lives. That the life that we live now forever is going to be found in him. And we want to be able to start asking ourselves. To me, the question is, if you're sitting today and wondering, you know, would I be able to stand? You know, would I be able to make it? And for some reason, we have a tendency to allow people to passively say, well, you know, I don't know. And we don't see a commitment, an attitude that says, listen, I am going to give my whole heart to God. Doesn't mean we don't stumble. Doesn't mean that we don't make any mistakes. It means that I'm living in pursuit of him. Mm-hmm. And the question is, would we in any other part of our relationship in life, if who wants to play on a sports team with someone that says, well, I'm not really interested in winning. I want to put the uniform on and I want to be part of the, you know,
look like everybody else.
Yeah, I want to be part of the team.
Right.
I want to go out there and, you know, get the hand claps and the accolades and the attaboys and attagirls, but, you know, I'm not really committed to, you know, putting a lot of effort into this game or mm-hmm. risking getting hurt.
I don't have
to
give up anything.
Yeah, I just kind of want to be in the crowd. Instantly, we would tell that person, maybe this is not for you.
Yeah.
You're not on this team, and it would be an injustice for you to put on this uniform, you know, because mm-hmm. you're not willing to pay the price. You don't want to go to practice. You don't want to develop. You don't want to put anything in. But for some reason, we tolerate that, and we're not willing to have the tough conversations with people that we care about and be able to challenge them in our walk. That's the benefit that we have of having brothers and sisters. I mean, the proverb says that as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. Like, where's the sharpening today?
Mm-hmm.
Two dull knives can't sharpen anything, but we can come into a relationship with someone where we can begin to start challenging each other on our walk and saying, listen, how deep is our love? Persecution is here. And I'm afraid that many are going to start turning, you know, against their own family members, against their own people. And it's like, you don't want to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. And believe me, if they don't love Jesus, their level of love for you is not going to be anything. I mean, if you can deny the Lord, it's nothing to deny a parent. It's nothing to deny a child. It's nothing to deny a grandparent. Nothing. If you can deny the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we want to challenge you today. I feel extremely challenged when I look at the life of Susan and so many believers, our brothers and sisters in the Middle East that have risked their lives. Egypt, Iraq, Iran. They say mm-hmm. the fastest growing part of the church right now is in Iran. Why? Because it cost them something. when people get baptized in many of these countries, they're completely disowned. And they make a serious, all-out commitment to the Lord. And it's okay to question yourself. The Bible says to examine ourselves to see if we're even still in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to do an examination and to say, what's cut in on me?
Mm-hmm.
What has happened in my walk that I just don't feel that passion anymore? What's cut in on me that I don't feel that sense of urgency? What's cut in on me that I don't even feel like reading my Bible anymore? What's cut in on me that my conversation with my friends and the things that I think about and the things I watch on TV, and it's just, Jesus wouldn't even tolerate this stuff. Mm-hmm. What has happened to me? It's okay to ask those questions. And it's also okay to talk about something that I think rarely gets talked about these days, is the actual word confession. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, right? 1 John 1:9.
Mm-hmm.
But the word confess, Steve, means to admit. It means to say, yes, it was me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I failed here. And I think a lot of times we become dismissive and we don't look at the reality of, I've sinned here before God. Sin is real. And it will separate you from God. We need to come humbly before God and reevaluate our walks, reevaluate where we are. And close is not there. You know, in is in and out is out. And you got to ask yourself, where am I today?
Mm-hmm.
I think about when God asked Adam, where are you? Wasn't it God didn't know where Adam was?
Mm-hmm.
He knew exactly where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know, Adam, where are you? And so that's a question we want to leave you today. As we come back from this break, we're going to talk more about this, what's happening, and jihad in America. We're living in serious days, but I tell you, if we have a walk with God, listen, you and God are a majority. These are the most fascinating, amazing days to walk on the face of the earth. So many biblical prophecies, the convergence of them all. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that God can use you to lead so many to the Lord. But you got to know him first.
Mm-hmm.
Join us when we get back from this break.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
It's amazing how we're standing together mm-hmm. to be able to do this. And we have so many things as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership. As mm-hmm. you know, we have an entire partnership area, you know,
yeah,
in regards
it's
to
very exciting.
What's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Mm. Trust in God. Think
trust
about
in
this.
God.
That all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed and this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has
mm-hmm.
because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call, you can go online at VFNTV.com as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go till you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your
That's
gift,
right.
a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner,
that is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this, be a part, and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house, you grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect mm-hmm. yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you've got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write, and join the many partners that are keeping us going. And mm-hmm. we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
It's amazing how we're standing together mm-hmm. to be able to do this. And we have so many things as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership, as mm-hmm. you know. We have an entire partnership area, you know,
yeah,
in regards to
what's
available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Mm. Trust in God. Think about this, that all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed and this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has
mm-hmm.
because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call, you can go online at VFNTV.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go to, you see the mailing address, you can even mail in your
That's
gift,
right.
a gift of any size whatsoever, and this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner,
that is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears,
right?
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce him to the Prince of Peace. So please get this, be a part, and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house, you grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect mm-hmm. yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write and join the many partners that are keeping us going. And mm-hmm. we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Jihad in America, silent jihad in America. We're going to hear from Shira Sokaram being interviewed by Sid Roth. This is a great interview because you're going to see and hear the strategy that I'm telling you. There's mm-hmm. so many dimensions to this attack, to jihad, that if you don't know, you're going to get hit one way or the other. But she begins to unpack and unfold the strategy that's been being implemented in the United States and what we can do. Watch this.
A few years ago, there was a woman who was in her hijab, her Muslim dress, and she was taking pictures of the Chesapeake Bridge. And it looked kind of suspicious, so the police stopped her. And then they found that her driver had been arrested for stuff with Hamas. Mm-hmm. And so they searched this person's house, El Barassi is his name, and they found in the basement hidden two truckloads of materials of plans and purposes and strategies of the Muslim Brotherhood. This opened up to the United States for everyone who wanted to know, I'm talking about in the government, to find out what the Muslim Brotherhood was up to. And it's out there. In fact, I found it on a government website.
Well, how come we don't have it in the newspapers in America?
Why?
I mean, this is like their strategy, their hidden strategy. Well, there were five major points, briefly summarized.
Yes.
What is the strategy of the Muslim Brotherhood?
Stealth. First of all, you can lie. You can lie in Islam. It's called taqiyya. You can lie if it will advance Islam.
Wait a second. The United States is bending over backwards to make a nuclear deal with Iran.
Yep.
And you're telling me that if they agree to anything, they can lie and they're okay with their God?
Absolutely. Taqiyya is legal. And not only do you are you allowed, but you must to advance Islam. You must do whatever is possible to do that, including to lie. Yes. And so the way you start is very, very quietly. You know, you build little what they call prayer groups. You bring people in and you tell them, don't tell anybody else that we are meeting, but we want to bring you into Islam. They don't start out telling them the revolutionary part. They just say, you know, the true religion is Islam. And the true God is Allah, and Muhammad is God's representative. So they really drill that into them. And then as they see somebody becoming very devout, they take him aside and begin to indoctrinate him that there is a very important job for every true Muslim to do, and that is to help make the world Islamic, a caliphate of Islam with Sharia law. You do it by jihad. And as I said before, 98% of the talk about jihad in the biography of Muhammad is definitely sword.
So tell me briefly their strategy. There were 5 points.
Yes. Okay, so after you get these leaders and you start working with them quietly, you don't do anything, you don't do anything to cause a problem. But then you begin to work with the mass media, the newspapers, the TVs, and you explain to them what is true Islam. It's very nice. There's nothing bad about it. There's nothing, just these fanatics out here, you know. And so you get the press on your side. And then as the numbers grow and the converts come in and you put up more organizations. There's more organizations in Islam that you could possibly imagine in the United States. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of charitable organizations and all kinds of stuff. And then the next thing is to get into the universities and get your people in there, get your professors in there, and really push Islam. And you get congressmen in there, get Muslim congressmen. And then you get to a certain level where you have enough Muslims, then you can begin the pressure. If anybody speaks against Islam, you sue them. You talk about them. You say this is Islamophobia. And you work in that way in pressure. Get the government. They're working on laws, you know, to make it against the law to talk against Islam. There's no law that they're talking about to talk against Christianity or anything like that, just Islam. But the final goal then is to put in the White House a president, a Muslim president, and to turn the laws into Sharia law in the United States.
2 questions. Number one, how close are we to their final goal, to have put a president in the White House?
Well, in this house where they dug up these 2 truckloads of stuff, the people that were working on these plans said, well, we're going through 4. We're in the fourth one.
Fourth phase.
The fourth phase. And they were thinking that by... now, I didn't read that in this particular report, but I read where some of them are saying they feel like by 2050 they can have a president in the White House. Now, it could be sooner.
Okay. Sharia law, briefly, very briefly.
Right.
What are the some basic elements of it?
Basic elements is that a woman's testimony is only half as true as a man. A man can divorce his wife with 3 words: "I divorce you." A woman cannot divorce. You can have 4 wives. And if you're conquering and bringing in conquered people, you can have all the the slaves you want. The women are simply downtrodden. If a woman is raped, you have to have 4 men who witnessed it. Otherwise, it doesn't stand up in court.
How could any woman ever want to be under Sharia law?
I can't imagine.
How could any sane human ever want to be under Sharia law?
This is so important for us to, to, you know, learn about and understand what's happening. I mean, the cover has been lifted, and now we can understand that there's a strategy. It's been going on for a while, and let me tell you, it's been quite successful. But we share this with you not so that you can be alarmed, but so that you can be aware. And it's time for us to understand, where is our confidence? You know, God's given us all a measure of faith, and it's time for us to make sure that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people are walking today with, Steve, what's called misplaced faith. They have it in their jobs, their relationships, and other people, even in themselves. But I'm telling you that today's a day like no other, and we're going to make it if our faith and our confidence is in Jesus Christ and Him alone and His ability to lead us and to guide us into all truth. We want to pray with you. Would you join us right now in prayer? Father, Lord, we just thank you, God, for this great opportunity we have to share and to grow together in wisdom. Father, we thank you that no scheme and no strategy can succeed against the plan of God. Father, we pray, God, that we would turn our hearts back to you on the Gulf Coast, Lord, all over this country, and that you would forgive us of all of our sins. Help us, Lord, to do right before you, Lord. We ask that you end abortion, send revival, send the third great awakening on our land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation. And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says it's a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?